All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. New theme Thursday edition of Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. The theme is songs that associate with the sweetness, because today we're getting ready for the Sweet 16. How sweet it is starts up tonight. As a matter of fact, I believe we're like an hour away from this.
We're like 20 minutes away.
20 minutes away yeah. from the start of the tournament and the Sweet 16. So we'll get to some Texas basketball conversation here because there are a couple of stories. The Statesman has a story about Rodney Terry and some of the head coaching vacancies around the country. Also, we'll get to Dickie V calling out the University of Texas, and we'll start to break down and preview this Texas-Xavier matchup a little bit, too. You can always be a part of the show. Specs Text Line is the best way to do it. 512-337-3776. Raj, round of the day coming up next. There are rumors of a possible trade happening in the NFL that, if it is the right trade partner, could rock the league, in my opinion, to its core. We'll talk about that coming up in Raj rant of the day. Also, there's clarification on who Kenfolk might have been who represented Lamar Jackson and reached out to teams, which actually was against the CBA. So, violated the NFL CBA to reach out to teams, because the person that reached out to these teams was not certified by the NFL Players Association to be an NFL agent. So we have a little bit more clarity on that situation. We were wondering who could have been the person reaching out. Patrick's theory. What was your theory about the Lamar Jackson kinfolk representative reaching out to NFL teams?
I was hoping it was him just doing a different voice.
Turns out, I don't think that's going to be it. No. Actually, I wanted that to be true.
And I was still believable until Lamar they found Jackson. Out information. Until they found out information about who this other person is. Yeah. It could have still been true, because he could have just used the name.
That's a good point. Actually, unless we get some deep diving, we go kind of
Tom Pelissero had blown
holding.
Up who this guy is.
Oh, does he have details about his life and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a real
Tom
person.
Tom Pelissero knows this is a real person.
He cyber-stalked him pretty fast. All right. Yeah. I imagine, because I think
I was looking at somebody
too.
On Facebook. Looking for him to see who he is.
As soon as I said today, Hart started. He started cyber stalking. Just like everybody cyber stalking.
But that's because Hart knows everybody. So he's like, you know, the 8 degrees of Kevin Bacon. His 8 degrees of Hart. He's like, I bet he can get a hold of this guy within 3 phone calls.
I'm gonna try to find out for
well,
us.
Well, if you can try to find him an agent. Get in touch with him. Or recommend Laramie Tunsil to be his agent, apparently.
Exactly.
Did you say Laramie Tunsil was on Pat McAfee today?
Yeah, he was on Pat McAfee
I'm
today.
I'm going to check that out.
So he was his own agent, but then he had like a guy that he talked
to. An advisor?
He had an advisor.
Yeah. I think Lamar Jackson's got to have an advisor, right?
Well, and
Laramie, it ain't kinfolk.
What Laramie Tunsil told him is, hey, man, hit me up. I'll give you my contacts, my guy's information, and you can work with my guy who just got me to be paid the highest left tackle in the
I'm
NFL.
Surprised it hadn't happened.
Why aren't you
ever.
Talking to my guy?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I wonder. That's a good point about the advisor. I do wonder who's the advisor for Lamar Jackson. I know he's got one, but
well, do you see what the tweet from Tom Pelissero says this guy is?
Oh no, I didn't. What does he say he is?
He is a Florida man, already a good start, who most recently was pitching a home fitness invention.
He doesn't say he's a Florida man on the tweet, does he?
He says Ken Francis is a Florida man who recently was pitching a home fitness
intentional.
Invention.
That is intentional. Everybody knows what Florida man is a thing.
Say? But wait.
He definitely put Florida man there on purpose.
A Florida man calls
Florida
NFL teams?
You could have said Florida native. A Florida native.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's true.
Florida man
a
is,
Florida man.
Yes, it is in our like lexicon now. Everybody knows Florida man and what it means in the modern pop
Matter
culture sense.
Matter of fact,
sense.
They do a segment on Light the Tower.
Florida Man. Exactly. Everybody knows a Florida man.
There's going to be a Light the Tower tomorrow.
Exactly.
Florida man tries Kim to Francis. Negotiate nine figure contract.
Florida man. That is fantastic.
Well, here's the thing.
In
defense, Lamar Jackson is from Florida, so he too is Florida man.
No, you want to be
He's a Florida native.
You want to be a Florida native.
I want to be a Floridian.
Yeah, I'm talking about Ken Francis is a Florida man. That is not cool, Tom Pelissero. We know what that means. There's an underlying context.
I got jokes.
That is great.
I love it.
All right, we'll get to some NFL news notes and nuggets coming up at the top of the 6 o'clock, gentlemen. Let's get to the Longhorn-related stories here. Go behind the burnt orange curtain first. Let's start with the Austin American Statesman story. And then we'll get to Texas Xavier. Remember, we still got another day to break down that matchup. But it was reported today by the Austin American-Statesman, and I believe it was Kirk Bowles, but it says here, just told the Austin American-Statesman. So it did say that Rodney Terry, interim head coach Rodney Terry, is being pursued for head coaching openings at Penn State and at Cal. A source with knowledge of the situation told the Austin American-Statesman on Wednesday. So he is now being sought after. We know that, and that should have been the case. He's a coach of the year, so Sporting News coach of the year.
Yep.
Oh, Shaka just won a coach of the year award, too.
Yes, he did.
I forget what it was. I think it was a Writers Association. Was it the College Basketball Writers Association?
You may be correct, but
I believe so. That might be it. But if I'm wrong, he won one of the coach of the year awards. Hell, I believe the last three coaches at Texas have been a coach of the year then.
At some point.
Sometime or another.
You are correct, my friend.
Right? There you go.
Yeah. Everybody wins when you.
Hey, it's Texas, baby. We're trying to get the best.
Right.
I'll say this because this story also relates to the Dickie V story, so we might as well kind of throw out both of these, and then we can discuss the both topics because I think they are interrelated, of course. What Dickie V also came out today and had some harsh criticism for the University of Texas overall, I guess the decision makers, if you want to call it that, because his tweet that he put out, and remember, he's been very vocal, even in his broadcast, about the lack of urgency on the part of Texas to remove the interim tag from Rodney Terry and give him the head coaching job. He believes he's done more than enough to earn that job. Here is a tweet that he put out there today. And there's a lot of all caps in here. And there was a texter earlier that had a great tweet, and I meant to read it earlier and I didn't text her. It was fantastic because I said, you know, Dickie V puts out this tweet at Dickie V. Lot of all caps in here, but not the whole thing's not all caps, but a lot of it. And it's I don't know, it's strange, like the all caps. Like, I don't know if he's trying to overstate something or if he's trying to, you know, have a very emphatic statement. Like, it's really tough to tell, or if he just had the caps on and just forgot about it.
It's up there
that
for
kind
you.
Of thing.
There you go. You can read it.
Yeah, the text says all caps is the only way Dickie V talks. So that actually is fair. That makes perfect sense now as to why it's all caps in there. Anyway, so all caps, lack of class by Texas Athletic Board. Then we go back to, you know, lowercase. I can buy waiting until the end of the regular season on the status of at Rodney Terry. So he does tag Rodney Terry in the tweet. However, continue the tweet. However, after winning, all caps winning. All right. So to me, it sounds like the Charlie Sheen winning. And then he tags at the Big 12 conference in it. I said after winning the Big 12 conference title, he, and this is all caps again, deserved lowercase, all caps, multi-year deal, all caps. Mm. Well, I think that all caps is on purpose. It's just kind of sporadically thrown out all throughout the tweet. Then he adds Texas men's basketball, so he tags them. Then he tags ESPN PR in the tweet, so like, hey, man, if y'all got a problem with what I said, y'all can handle it in the PR department. And then he adds ESPN, so he wants his bosses to know, hey, I made this statement in case y'all got a problem with it too. So he wants everybody to know what he did. Texas men's basketball, Big 12 conference, Rodney Terry. I'm surprised CDC's not in here. That's the only one he missed.
Yeah, he missed that one.
He missed CDC.
I don't know if Dick Vitale knew. I'm not sure he knows the ADs for all these schools.
That's a good point. He says Texas Athletic Board.
Yeah,
so I guess that's CDC.
That's CDC, that's you. Yeah.
CDC. CCC, I believe you are Texas Athletic Board. That is you he's talking to right there.
In case you missed it.
He's talking to you, CDC. Let me just say this. First of all, I do think it is Rodney Terry's job. I think he is the front runner for the position. I do think ultimately he's going to get the job because he's going to win another game. We'll get to breaking down Texas Xavier. Yeah. I think he's going to win the game, get to the Elite Eight, and then leave even less doubt than there already is that he's the guy.
I like that.
I don't think you can do anything now, though. It's just you don't want to disrupt, discombobulate the mojo of this team. This team is just really playing well, and they just got this really great vibe with them. And I don't want to disrupt that. And that stuff is too fragile. You don't want to mess with that. So I understand not doing anything now. Now, if you were going to do something after the Big 12 conference tournament, should have did it then. If you were going to do something after the regular season, should have did it then. But I'll say this, and this is kind of my butt on the whole thing. The Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, Cardi B size, Megan Thee Stallion size butt. It is is a kind of a known, I don't know if it's something that is factual, but it is considered to be more like, I don't know, folklore, or at least it is believed that most athletic directors out there, they have this magic list of coaches they want to hire for every job, for every different sport.
Absolutely.
And they carry that with them like Robbie carries his notes around every damn where. Mm-hmm. These are my guys. I got a list. It's probably on their phone now. And it is my belief that if that is indeed true, that every athletic director has a list of great coaches they want to hire for every job, that it is fair to say Rodney Terry was not on CDC's list to start the season. He was not on that list once the crisis happened with Chris Beard. It is fair to say that Rodney Terry probably wasn't put on that list at the top of it until he won the Big 12 Conference Tournament.
That's fair. There's nothing wrong with that thought process either. There's nothing wrong with that theory. I agree with you 100%.
If that's the case, then it's been how long? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? A little over 2 weeks or something? Since the Big 12 Conference Tournament?
Three weeks.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Hadn't been that long.
Yeah.
So I could see, and like I said, maybe this has already happened, but my theory is that he's got a list. Rodney Terry wasn't on the list. Rodney Terry just got put at the top of that list once he won the Big 12 Conference Tournament, and CDC said, you know what? Man, he might have what it takes.
Yep.
I gotta seriously consider Rodney Terry to be at the front runner for this position, and I think now he is that. But for those who want to criticize CDC for not acting sooner, my thought process is he really just started considering Rodney Terry to be the guy.
I can agree with you on that. I think your scenario and the thought process could be very spot on. And I was under that impression as well. And you and I didn't even really start diving into this until it started to get later, when we started seeing the wins, we started seeing the reaction from the players. We thought he did a great job of being able to hold this together, because let's not forget, they had to play a game that night when Chris Beard got arrested and was being suspended.
Yeah.
They had to go out there and play that night and be able to handle their business and then regroup and still handle their business throughout the season, finishing second overall in the Big 12 and then going to win the Big 12 championship. And everybody at the very beginning, the question was, what do you think? What do you think it's going to be? How do you remember? How are you going to be able to keep this job? What does he have to do? And everybody set the parameters.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, well, he's got to win a couple games in the Big 12, a tournament, because, you know, Chris Beard would have taken us. We don't know exactly where Chris Beard would have taken us. We don't know that. But what we've seen is this team rally around a coach, and they're playing for a purpose. And if you listen to any of Coach Terry's interviews, he always says, these guys came back to play for a national championship. That's why we have a lot of these guys back at this university, and they are going out there and handling their business. Yes, there is coaching going on. We heard Vic Schaefer talk about that, and I believe that all of those guys have been taking the coaching and making the adjustments. I saw a video the other day. They showed him showing the clips in the locker room. They showed a video
during the halftime
and saying, this is what you guys are doing. This is where it is. And this was in the tournament. And that was the beautiful part about it. And I was like, okay, this dude has got this thing figured out. So these guys are playing for him, and he's been able to keep everybody engaged with what the plan is, and that's playing for a national championship.
That's a really good point.
I mean, I'll just put in that I think what they've done of growing as a team throughout the season to fix problems and to grow, and to when we saw Jabari Rice step out from a role where it was bent to be more of, you know, the other guards, and then when Tyrese Hunter was struggling, Jabari Rice stepped into that role. We saw when Timmy Allen struggled, other guys would take over. And now seeing in the tournament, Dylan Dessou stepping in as a guy.
Yep.
That takes a lot of coaching to get a team to switch kind of what you do overnight like that. That's not super easy to do, because you have plays, as much as it doesn't look like they're running plays at points. There's a lot that goes into, hey, we are a guard-focused team, not going inside out, and now we are clearly going into the Sweet 16, a inside-out team. There's a lot that goes into it, and I think he's done a great job throughout this season of kind of shifting, whereas a lot of other coaches don't necessarily do that, especially in college. It's much more of, it's my way or the highway. And it's not just Rodney. It is the entire staff.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. On the coaching staff has just done a really, really good job. So I think if you are worried about anything, I think if you're CDC, you should have probably already made this decision by now, because it isn't that hard. And you should also be focusing on keeping as much of this staff together as you can.
Yep.
That's a great point, too.
The staff is the most important part to me, too.
Yeah, and to Patrick's point, you know, I guess the sooner you would make that move, and maybe this goes to your theory, Harsh, that behind the scenes it already has happened.
Right.
That we just aren't privy to that information. The coaching staff and the stability of as much stability as you can keep, you'd like to, because you're going to have a lot of turnover just on the roster alone. And you'd like to try to keep some stability with the coaching staff, because you've already had turnover. I mean, that's yep. Chris Beard out and Rodney Terry in. So, yeah, that's a great point. So I think it's Rodney Terry's job pretty much to lose.
Yep.
There is a chance that, like I said, that list that CDC has, he still wants to explore that list, probably has already been exploring that list, and that he still wants to do his due diligence. And, by the way, that's his job.
Yeah.
So for anybody to criticize, like, oh, he shouldn't even be interviewing anybody else. Wrong.
You need to interview everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to interview everybody.
Even if you know Rodney Terry is a front runner, that's great.
I'm a big fan of Rodney Terry. Yes. Don't get it twisted, but.
Yeah, you still need to interview everybody.
I run a business, and we got to interview everybody.
Exactly. Well, even if you know Rodney Terry's a guy, you can interview somebody else, because he can find out more information about another program, about their staff. There are a lot of advantages to interviewing other candidates. But even if he's going to be the guy, and I'll say this too, I do think that he's gonna win. Rodney Terry's gonna win into the game, and then he's gonna leave no doubt. Hell, I got him in my bracket going all the way to the championship.
Hello.
But the truth is, and I said this earlier, and I don't want to sound mean here. I'm not trying to sound mean, because I love Coach Terry. I think he's done a fantastic job, and everybody who knows him personally that I've talked to talk about him as a great human being too. Not just a hell of a coach, great human being. He's in that conversation. But in terms of negotiations with Texas, Texas knows, or CDC knows, there's no rush to this, because Rodney Terry wants this job. He wants it bad. He's got it bad like Usher. You got it. You got it bad. He got it bad. He wants this job. No matter what job is offered to him, I don't think that, honestly, I don't know if there's another job in the country that he's offered that he would just leave right now. I know it sounds crazy. Yep. He wanted to retire here.
Yes.
He's talked about that.
Yep.
He talked about that as an assistant.
Yeah.
You think he wants to retire as an assistant? He definitely wants to retire as the head coach at Texas. He's going to give this opportunity, all right? He's going to give it every chance, every possible chance to try to accomplish what I believe is his dream, which is to be the head coach at Texas. Now, if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, I do think he'll end up taking over some great job, because he's done a great job in proving he's a damn good coach. But they know Rodney Terry ain't going anywhere, because Rodney Terry wants this gig. And there's nothing Texas can do that would be so offensive and such an affront to him that he would decide, I'm out.
Right.
That's too disrespectful. You shouldn't treat me like that. There's nothing they can do. Some people are like, oh, man, this is really disrespectful to Rodney Terry. It may be. He ain't looking at it like that. He wants this gig.
Yeah.
So he's going to stick around. If they opened up the job interviewing process after the season was over and said, now we're interviewing candidates, he still would be a part of that interviewing process. He would submit his name.
Yeah.
And even though y'all be like, that's crazy. He's like, nope, he wants this job.
Yeah.
He wants it. Everybody who knows Rodney Terry knows he wants this
job.
Come
on, man.
Everybody who knows Rodney Terry knows.
This dude been around this university for a long time.
He's been trying to hint at y'all that I want to be around here.
I'm here.
Hey, I want to be here.
Yeah.
And they know that.
And a lot of us want him here, too.
I want him here, too. I agree. It's a great point. Great point there. Yep. But what we are not is, and Patrick brought this point up, and so has a texter, BMDs, the big money donors.
Yep.
We are not big money donors. We are not big money boosters. I know some of them. They're nice people.
They're great.
Hey, they're great.
I will say, I saw some of them celebrating the win.
Exactly.
I saw some of them celebrating the win in the locker room, so I know Rodney's got a relationship.
And I'll tell you what about that, too. As long as you keep winning, hell, you're gonna get all the big money boosters in your corner that you need.
Because
that's ultimately what they really want.
Yeah.
It's to win so they can brag. But if there is an X factor that we're not considering, it would be the BMDs.
Yeah.
We just don't. Nobody knows. The BMD could come in there and decide, hey, I'm writing these checks, and I need to see this. And sometimes that influences decisions.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm definitely down with that.
But I'm with you. I think he's got a good relationship. He's been around so long, he knows the BMDs.
That's the thing that really drives me nuts.
He's got to know these BMDs. Yeah. He's been around here so long.
And that's the thing that drives me nuts when people are like, I don't know if Rodney's been here longer than a lot of people.
He knows, yes.
Yeah. He's from the area. I mean, he went to Angleton, but he went to St. Ed's.
Yeah.
And he's lived here. He coached in this community. He's been on that bench for a long time.
He was an assistant.
Recruiter.
He was an assistant with Zay's dad at Bowie.
Exactly. Dude knows
that's
the
how
area.
Long he's been in town.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So I think we'll all end up getting the result we want because it sounds like we all want Rodney Terry to be
and everybody's always, I had a dude hitting me up and saying, look at what he did at UTEP in Fresno. I'm like, would you want to go to all those schools? No, you would not.
Hey,
it's a lot different when you're at the University of Texas to go recruit.
Hey, sometimes there's recruiters, sometimes there's coaches. We know Rodney Terry can recruit, and we know he can coach.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. Yes. There's other things that are involved in being a head coach, but recruiting and coaching, not an issue I'm worried about with Rodney Terry.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think Patrick made a good point about, you know, coaches, him hiring coaches, like, oh, are these coaches going to want to stick around with Rodney Terry? That's important. That's going to be.
And they came, a lot of them came with Chris Beard. He has another job.
Exactly.
So he may be trying to bring some of these guys as well.
And if I'm CDC, I'd like to know. I'd probably go talk to those other coaches, too. I need to know, like, hey, you sticking around here?
If
Rodney Terry's a guy, are you going to stay here with Rodney Terry? I'd like to know.
As a matter of fact, I'm already going doing over that there too. And saying, you are staying.
Hey, if you get a head coaching job, we get it.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
If you get a head coaching job, we don't want to hold you back. But if you want to go to a worse school than us,
yeah, give us a chance to match it.
You want to go to Mississippi?
I don't know. Why you want to live in Mississippi as opposed to living in Austin, Texas?
Yep.
Any part of Mississippi. Give me the most progressive, the greatest part of Mississippi, and I will take Austin all day, every day.
The greatest part of Mississippi.
What is the greatest part?
What is
part
your
of the,
best part?
Exactly. What's the best part of Mississippi? Come on, man.
I know that bar that Chris Beard and Lane Kiffin are hanging out at.
Lane Kiffin would be able to tell us, I guess. All right, there you go. Someone says, Nate says, he is Coach Terry to me. There you go. Start the Coach Terry movement. There you go.
That's right.
There you go. Because, I guarantee the players, they don't call him interim. They'll say, hey, interim.
Yeah.
How you air that out?
You can't tell me what to do. You interim.
Exactly.
You my stepdaddy.
Yeah.
You not my real coach.
They don't say that.
Yeah,
no.
they get into that. And also, a great point was brought up by my man E. Hogan this morning, and I thought it was a valid one. CDC has a little bit of experience in turnover from a coach after a controversy or a bit of a crisis. Remember the tennis team?
Yeah.
Remember the tennis coach? Was it Michael Center?
Yeah, Coach Center.
And then obviously the tennis team ends up going through a bit of a crisis
themselves.
They won a national
championship.
But then, they end up making a run under the then interim coach.
Yep.
All right. And then he decided, Bruce Burke, I believe is his name. Is that the coach's name? And then he ends up becoming the head coach.
Yep.
They removed the interim tag, I believe. But it was at the end of the season, though. It was after everything. It was already after he had won the championship and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So CDC waited till all of that was said and done before removing the interim tag. And, yes, it's Bruce Burke. So that's a great example that he brought up on B&E this morning. I thought may have been relevant to the conversation.
No doubt.
Okay. We got Texas Xavier breakdown. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We got Raj Rant of the Day
you
coming
did good,
up
while,
next.
By the way, of saying Xavier.
I know.
I practiced last night, too.
Did you? I really want. I'm an X-Man fan, so I want to go Xavier so bad, like Professor Xavier.
I told my nephew he couldn't come over because I didn't want to practice calling his name.
Because he's an X-Xavier. Yeah, everybody got to know the X. And when you're Xavier, you don't know if you're an X-Xavier or a Xavier.
Yeah.
It all depends on your personality, I guess. All right, we'll talk more about that matchup a little bit later on in the show. We come back. We got Raj Rant of the Day. There are a ton of rumors, and honestly, this is so much smoke. There's got to be some fire, too. It about where this receiver is going to be traded to. DeAndre Hopkins right now is considered to be on the trade market. Multiple sources, multiple reports saying he's going to be traded coming up before the draft. People are even speculating. One of the teams, maybe even two or three of the teams, could end up being the beneficiary of his services. And if they do, I think he could be a game changer for these teams. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. There are a couple of NFL stories that are starting to hit the headlines that we'll get to. We'll also, in the six, top of 6 o'clock, we will get to the update on Lamar Jackson's representative who was reaching out to NFL teams. His kinfolk. That's basically what it is. And to be kinfolk, you ain't got to be blood relation.
Right, right.
You just be kinfolk. All right? It means somebody that's close to you. And this guy, apparently he and Lamar Jackson are really close. How did this guy get all the numbers? You know what? We'll get into it. We'll get into it. Like, how did this guy, how did this random jabroni get numbers to NFL general managers? And
he connected, dog.
You know
connected.
What? You know where I think he got it from? I'm not joking. I'm serious about this. You know why I think this random jabroni, I know we're going to get into Raj around the day. You know why I think this random jabroni representing, and by the way, not a certified agent, representing Lamar Jackson while reaching out to teams on his behalf? And by the way, we'll get into why the CBA does not allow that. I think Adam Schefter or an NFL insider gave this random guy these execs' numbers because all they want is access to reports about what's happening. And so if they can get closer to Lamar Jackson, that's all they give a damn. I'm like, no, I'll give you a number. He won't know where I got it, bro. Yeah. Take it. You got it. Done. Just don't let him know.
Which but he's I denying, need... by the way.
Huh?
He's denying that he's contacted anybody.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he's denying the fact.
Hold up. So he's Ken saying somebody Francis, else did it?
Ken Francis says he's been denying
Whoa.
Any time, any contact with anybody.
So Patrick's theory is now back in play.
Yes.
That it was Lamar Jackson
it's Lamar
the whole time.
Jackson that's using a rando's name and then find out that he's
Ken
real.
Francis. Ken Francis here. Would you like to buy the entire gym and also you can sign Lamar Jackson?
Hey, you know what? That voice is better than your voice of Lamar Jackson impersonating some rando yesterday.
Because
yesterday it was way too white.
Yeah.
And this time it's a little, I don't know. I can't tell if it's white or I don't know what race it is. So that's good. I think that's better. Yesterday it seemed like you were trying to do a white guy's voice. It was like a Dave Chappelle white guy voice.
Yeah.
This time I thought it was, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell what ethnicity.
Well, you know, I had to go to the Ken Francis voice. It's very different.
Yeah, Francis voice. Oh man, that's
never ending.
That story is the gift that keeps on giving. Matter of fact, we're getting into that story, man. We're gonna start next segment. We'll start getting into that story.
Yeah.
That story's too good. Let's get into this NFL story though, because this might also end up as a big time headline in the NFL pretty soon. So DeAndre Hopkins wants to be traded, and it seems like the Cardinals want to trade him. Now, Albert Breer seems to be the one. Albert Breer and Pac-Man Jones, how about that, are the two sources in this story. Yeah, Pac-Man Jones and Adam, apparently he and DeAndre Hopkins are really close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, when that's happened, but apparently they're really close. So Pac-Man Jones has a report. He works on the Pat McAfee show, actually,
mm-hmm.
now. And that's why he is now considered to be a member of the media. But I digress. So they apparently, reportedly, I should say, the Cardinals won a second-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. And another asset. Second round pick and another asset. So maybe a starter or maybe a draft pick, whatever. But it looks like the market, whatever that means, Albert Breer reporting, the market's only willing to deal maybe a fifth and a sixth round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. And how about this? To me, you know, if that is the case, a fifth and a sixth round pick, you know who's setting that market? The Cowboys.
Thank you.
Give it up for the Cowboys.
Cowboys letting you know,
last
man.
Year, they misread the damn market so bad. They traded a number one wide receiver for a fifth-round pick when everybody else is trading their number one wide receivers for first, multiple first and second-round picks. And you had a young wide receiver you traded for a fifth-round pick. This year, they're actually playing the offseason so well. They're so savvy. They actually are now setting the market.
Oh, yeah.
For wide receivers on the trade market. Cowboys.
Hey.
I said, I don't know if Jerry Jones. This has got to be Weekend at Jerry's, man. I think they're doing a Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing. They trotting Jerry Jones around. There's no way Jerry Jones is making these decisions.
I love it.
But anyway, getting back to
it.
I love it, though. So they're saying he's going to go for a fifth or a sixth because that's more the Brandon Cooks price tag, and that's closer to what he's going to go for in the, you know, the trade market. Hopkins is set to earn, I think, like $35 million or something like that over the next couple of years. He's going to be a huge salary cap hit as well, much bigger salary cap hit as well. But he's really productive. He's been going through some injuries. He had the suspension because of PEDs, but I still think he'll be highly coveted. But here are the teams that are interested in DeAndre Hopkins, and I thought this was good. So Pac-Man Jones, who's really close with Nook, he says five teams are in on DeAndre Hopkins. The Patriots, the Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, Las Vegas Raiders, and the Atlanta Falcons. Also, in addition to Pac-Man Jones' report, Albert Breer is reporting, there's another team also interested in DeAndre Hopkins, and I hope and pray, and y'all should too, that he does not go to this team.
It better not be the Cincinnati Bengals.
It ain't.
Who is it?
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that'll be a big problem. That would be a big problem. That'd be a big problem.
That'd be a problem.
You always talk about a cheat code. Come on, man.
You got to take care of Kelsey on the inside and deal with that dude on the outside?
Yeah. Because they just lost two wide receivers,
they
too.
They did. Lost Juju and
Markelle Hardman.
Yeah, Hardman. Yep. And I know they can work the cap space because Brett Veach is a genius as a GM. So I know they can work that out. Out of all the teams, Kansas City worries me the most. Buffalo should also be concerning. That guy you're talking about, a scramble drill where you can just chunk it up to Nuck, like out of nowhere. He can win the 50-50s, turn them into 80-20s. That's scary. And then, we know Lamar Jackson reportedly wants out of Baltimore, if you ask the representative who was calling NFL teams on his behalf. But if they keep him one more year, and we all believe he's going to stick around there at least one more year with the franchise, and maybe he'll decide he won't play at all and won't sign it. So that could happen too.
Right.
He could just decide he wants to go nuclear on the whole damn thing, which I hope doesn't happen because everybody loses. But Baltimore, man, Baltimore with a Lamar Jackson and a DeAndre Hopkins on the outside.
Yeah.
That would be scary. So of all the teams that are listed, Kansas City freaks me out the most. Because this will remind me of that A.J. Brown trade to the Eagles. Because they already got Travis Kelce.
They got
Travis Kelce arguably is the best receiving bargain in the NFL. You got to pay him like a tight end. Gives you numbers like a receiver, like a number one wide out.
He's balancing you out, man.
So you got a bargain with him. And, man, they get a DeAndre Hopkins on the side. That's gonna be a problem. That's gonna be a problem for everybody in the league.
This is what they have. They got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore, who obviously they're pretty excited about as the wide receiver, along with Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco. Yeah, if they add Nuke in there, that can be another problem.
Love this texter. He said it will be like Moss going to the Patriots with Brady. He also said Pac-Man Jones is a certified Chiefs hater. Why he never mentioned the Chiefs on the DeAndre. Thanks for that inside info there. Yeah, I mean, I Randy Moss is in GOAT status, but it would be, I mean, you talk about him going to, you know, Patrick Mahomes, it'd be the, you know, Tyreek Hill obviously was also an elite receiver. But, yeah, it would be reminiscent of something that impactful. Because I watched a lot of DeAndre Hopkins, so did Patrick when he was a Texans fan before he renounced his fandom. And, man, watching DeAndre Hopkins, it was one of the saddest yet most extraordinary, mind-blowing things that you could ever watch. Watching DeAndre Hopkins put up 1,000-yard seasons and put up elite top five wide receiving numbers with guys like Matt Schaub, Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer, T.J. Yates, Brandon Whedon, and Tom Savage and Brock Osweiler.
Tom Savage, baby.
Tom Savage, baby. These are all the quarterbacks before he got Deshaun Watson, finally an elite quarterback, 2017. But with all those other Jags and Jabronis, he ended up putting 1,000-yard seasons. He was all pro bowl staff. Yeah. I mean, that is it was unbelievable to watch. I'm telling you, because everybody doubled him. He was being double teamed on the regular. I would say he was the most double teamed wide receiver in the league because the Texans didn't have any other threats. They had Will Fuller, who got open a lot because he was in man-to-man coverage.
When he was healthy.
Like I said, former Texans fan, and he remembers
stalking his ex. Those were rough days.
No, a real Texas fan remembered when he was healthy.
When he was healthy.
When
he
played
4 or 5 games a year.
Maybe six.
He pushed to 7. That was a good year.
If you're putting together halves,
you're right about that. But most of the time, it was DeAndre Hopkins, man, a one man show. And I ended up coming up with a nickname for him, and my nickname for D-Hop all back then and now, I still think it may apply. I call him Spanks. I call him Spanks because he could take any unattractive, shapeless, malformed, misshapen, unappealing, unsightful, non-symmetrical QB and turn him into something that was productive and damn near close to being a little sexy at times. And he could do that. Mm-hmm. That's what Spanx does for a lot of these ladies out here. All right, they got there's a lot going on down there, but just put on them Spanx and real quick, like,
no,
take a few inches off the waistline and make them look like a Coke bottle figure. You like, you take them home and you be like, well, what?
Black, 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 black.
Hold up, hold up,
hold up,
hold up. That's not honest. Hey, that's the way it goes. It's all good. That's what DeAndre Hopkins
hit
was.
Hit the
for.
Lights.
Turn them off.
Hit a Teddy Pendergrass.
Turn them off. But that's essentially that. That's when he was not there with Matt Schaub and Case Keenum and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer and T.J. Yates and Brandon Weeden and Brock Osweiler and Tom Savage, when they did not have my man DeAndre Hopkins, Spanx. Oh, turn them off.
Yep.
I don't need to see it. I turned the TV off. Turn it off. I don't want to see that. So that's what I called him. And I think no matter who he goes to, and I say I'm actually praying it's not Kansas City. I don't want to see him in Kansas City either.
Yeah.
I don't. Because I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Well, there's a good chance they're going to win it anyway. Get him. We might as well just
I'm going to look at mybookie.com, and I'm going to check and see what the odds are for the Chiefs.
I know.
See what they are now, because if I put a sprinkle a little bit on it now.
What?
Good return on it.
Nah, I'm gonna need Roger Goodell to pull a David Stern.
Step
on in there. You know what? Excuse me. I can't let that happen. Nah, this is about competitive balance around here. We can't let that happen. All right, we come back. We'll get into this Lamar Jackson story because it is the gift that just keeps on giving. We will do that coming up next segment right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn. Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. New theme Thursday. Getting ready for the Sweet 16. Getting ready for those tournament games. And that's why the new theme of the day is about how sweet it is. Songs that are associated with the sweetness, because we're getting ready for the round of Sweet 16 games. Been talking a lot about Texas Xavier. We'll get back to that as well. But the NFL, man, it is always the gift that keeps on giving. But this Lamar Jackson story is strange. It is weird. Okay, so, and we won't have enough time to unpack everything in this segment. I'll just give you the first part of the Lamar Jackson update. So, last week, but earlier this week, I should say, we threw out there the story from Pro Football Talk that there was a representative, all right, from Lamar Jackson's camp, from his camp, that reached out to several NFL teams on his behalf to either spark negotiations or to try to, at least try to figure out exactly what teams thought of Lamar Jackson, what their status was in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. We didn't know who that was. Patrick had a great theory that maybe it was Lamar Jackson using a weird, strange voice and impersonating somebody else, trying to see what NFL teams thought of it. It's actually not that crazy when you think about it, all right? But now
they want a Zoom call with him, though.
Now it's been exactly. You can really spoil his plans, expose him. But now it's been reported by Adam Schefter that the NFLPA informed the NFL that Ken Francis, who they are identifying, they are saying the person that reached out on behalf of Lamar Jackson as a representative was this guy Ken Francis. And they are saying he is not a certified agent with the Players Union. And there are rules with the new CBA against anyone reaching out on players' behalf who don't have certification from the NFL Players Association. The memo, which was distributed to all 32 teams, reads as follows, quote, "As an uncertified person, Mr. Francis is prohibited from negotiating offer sheets or player contracts or discussing potential trades on behalf of any player or prospective player or assisting in or advising with respect to such negotiations." end quote. By the way, so they're basically even saying even Laramie Tunsil's thing is a little bit borderline.
Skeptical. That's why they're bringing it out.
He negotiated his deal on his own, but had an advisor, as Patrick told us. And they're saying even advisors actually are against the CBA.
But he negotiated with the team that he was already on. So maybe that's why it's already there.
And I think there's something to be said of if the advisor's in the room or if you go, hey, we have this conversation, I go back and tell my advisor, he tells me what to do and go tell him. You can't tell them, no, you're not allowed to talk to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that.
Yeah. I'm sure you can find loopholes in all the way through it. But now there are basically responses or retort from Lamar Jackson's camp and from this guy Ken Francis. They have both responded to the allegation that Ken Francis, and this allegation is by the NFLPA, by the way, that Ken Francis was kinfolk, or he was the representative, doing air quotes here, that reached out to teams on behalf of Lamar Jackson. So we'll come back, and then we'll give you the Lamar Jackson response and the Ken Francis response to the allegations from the NFLPA and the NFL. Oh, it gets wilder. I assure you, this is the tip of the iceberg. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.